Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about the violence that's taken place in the world and how did we get to this particular place. Do you know in World War I, it was reported that when the soldiers went out to fight the war, they had a big issue. And the big issue was, you know, to train for war, to go to boot camp and all this different stuff and to be dedicated to your country is one thing. To be able to go out and pull the trigger to take another human life was a huge, many people in World War I could not pull themselves to be able to do that. And it is a big thing, you know, being a former law enforcement officer, that's something you have to train for over and over again. So one of the ways that they tried to help that mindset to be able to train a soldier is they started creating these virtual scenes that made it look like, you know, that it was an actual taking of a life in a war. And so they would just kind of role play that and rehearse that. And they found out in World War II that we didn't have that issue anymore. So some of the technology we're going to be talking about today on today's program is the technology that we didn't have in World War I, we now have all around the world. All around the world, every single day, people are training, the training that America realized it needed to have to be able to succeed in World War II, we have now in our living rooms. As a matter of fact, it's called Grand Theft Auto and these other games just like this. As a matter of fact, you're looking at an image right now probably behind me. This may look like something you've seen on the news recently. I mean, you're looking at a man right here where he's, you know, it's a police officer's right there and they're actually firing this gun. The guy on the left is firing his gun at the police officers. I mean, it looks just like the news, doesn't it? But guess what? That's actually what a lot of kids and adults are doing every single day, not just in America. These are the reports right here. Let me see, these are the numbers that are playing this. 34 million. I mean, look at these numbers right here. 34 million players. 34 million. Think about that. Across the world, 34 million people are doing what we needed to be done. I'll come back to me here if you could. 34 million people. 34 million are doing stuff just like we saw not just every single day, but hours of the day. You think about that. In addition to that, inside these games, according to ing.com, that in 2014, which was last year's stats around October or so, they say that in this particular game, Grand Theft Auto, they have over 340,913,222 weapons inside this game. And it's just amazing every single day. And parents are buying this game for their kids. And so the kids, you know, kiss their mama goodnight and they go murder half the people virtually in their game. And they go, you know, they can't tell the difference. Can you tell the difference in society now since we actually lose these games out here? And when I think about this, and this is definitely, you know, parental guidance suggested what I'm about to show you. This is a video clip right now you're about to see of Grand Theft Auto. And you're going to notice this, that this looks a lot like France. A couple of months ago, this looks a lot like ISIS. It looks a lot like ISIL. It looks a lot like what we're seeing in the streets of America, in the streets of the world right now. But realize it's been happening virtually in your home, possibly, or in the home of your neighborhood. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
For the game, I think that games have every right to be violent. Have happened involved hates violence. I'm not talking about that at all, frankly. I'm not talking about aliens in the face with shotguns, RPGs, sniper rifles, knives, you name it. I mean, I can go and basically unleash terror upon the town of Liberty City here in Battle of Gaytoni, and the depiction of such and kind of cause quite a bit of uproar, quite a bit of fear. It's going to be a rampant thing that we have to deal with for the rest of our lives as people have access and just become more and more daring and more crazy. Quite a bit of just general disgust with, you know, just not doing that, just killing the bad guys and doing the missions and hanging out with the ladies and playing the mini-games and doing all that, fine and dandy. But I purposely made myself go through this experience of, like, so ferociously that you're going to be physically, because I believe it is going to be an issue in the near future, and I found it very, and I'm the Boston Marathon bombing at that time, even if they weren't. I was thinking about GTA 5, wanted to go back and dabble in GTA 4, and I was like, dang!
5. So, there's been a lot of debate recently as to whether or not Grand Theft Auto promotes violence. People who are sickened by
the
situation.
So you're looking at, right here. This is what's happening in that little box, the PlayStation 3 or the Xboxes and all these different things. It's called Grand Theft Auto and games just like it. Every single day, I mean, that looks just like what happened in France. It looks just like what happened. You think, well, that's just a game. You know, that couldn't be happening. That really wouldn't be happening. But let me tell you something. In Washington, D.C., at the United States Navy base there, there was a man there. They said he was so hooked on these games, I think it was like 16 hours a day, that he would play these games, Grand Theft Auto, and he would play it so much that people would bring him food because he wouldn't even leave the game. 16 hours killing and shooting and maiming. And people say, that won't change society. That wouldn't actually change anything. Well, this is not a game I'm about to show you. This is a video surveillance of this man going from the virtual game going to the physical aspect of a shotgun, walking into the Navy base. As a matter of fact, take a look at this right now. He's pulling in his car right here. This is not virtual. He's walking into the front building. He has a shotgun on his side right there. Here he is taking the shotgun. This is not a game. This is reality. This is in Washington, D.C. Navy base. He's walking down the hallway, and he begins to kill citizens. Citizens in our country. Your neighbor. People that are serving us on this base right here. Look at him. This is exactly what the game looks like. This is exactly what the game looks like. And so you have to understand, you can't, this is what the Lord said. The Lord says that, you know, if you can see it, then it'll happen. If you can see it, then it will happen. If you can believe it, if you begin to rehearse it, it begins to become a reality in your life. You know, he says, if you take a vision and you write it down and make it clear to other people, understand it, and you begin to walk in it, it'll come to pass. That's a natural thing that God's established. I mean, look at even secular businesses that understand, you know, that you got to have a vision. When they get a vision, it comes to pass. And it's just the way that God's created us. Well, if every single day, you know, you're murdering someone, I mean, you say, you tell the wife, hey, baby, it was a great meal, what's going on? Then you go back to the back room, you put on the headset, and they do this virtually with people all around the world. As I said, I believe 34 million people, I believe it is, are doing this every day, you know, almost. And they're playing with each other and fighting each other on the streets, and they're killing authority. They're doing everything that you see. So when you see crowds get into streets today, when you see people say they want to go over to ISIS and go over to ISIL and go over to the Middle East and fight with ISIS, understand they've been fighting that fight and that mindset for quite a few years now. That's already been in their heart already. That's what's been going on. And we don't, you know, Australia, I believe, has outlawed the type of games like that. I'm not sure, but we should outlaw murder. I mean, it's on the books. And think about it. If every single day you let someone murder someone in your home virtually, and then you're surprised, like when you think about the school shooting up in the Northeast, you think about all the school shootings going on, you think about the stabbings going on in the schools. I mean, these kids are playing these games. That's what they're talking about every single day. And my concern, if you missed that particular program that we talked about, you know, what does it look like this summer? This is what it looks like on a mass scale this summer. If we don't repent, this is what it looks like. It looks like this kind of, you know, loose behavior going on that people have trained, and they're just looking for a place. That's why you're looking at people right now. Somebody's saying, I don't understand why somebody would leave America and they would go all the way to the Middle East so they could do what? Do what they've been doing every single day on virtual games called Grand Theft Auto and games like that. They've already rehearsed it. They can see themselves cutting somebody's head off. They can see themselves shooting somebody. They can see themselves raping somebody. Women, reportedly, some reports are, one particular article that we'll have available to you on the VFN Torch, they talk about, you know, should you buy this particular game for your kids? I mean, that's actually a question. This is another question too. Should I abort my child? Should I kill my child? I mean, these are questions that we're asking ourselves. And I just a brief scenario on that to let you know how crazy it seems to us today for anybody to ever think that you can enslave another person and live off their labors and pay them nothing and abuse them. How crazy that is today. And we say that should not be. There's going to be a day people are going to look back, because during that days of slavery, there was people in this nation and across the world didn't think anything was wrong with it. They didn't bring it up. They just let it happen. But there's going to be a day, the way we're looking at slavery today, when we're looking at history and we're seeing how evil it was and how evil it is, they're going to look the same way at abortion. They're going to think, how could you ever allow that to happen in your nation? How could you take that? How could you take 50 million lives, you know, since 1973? And this particular virtual game, this kind of concept that's going on, this military type training, think about this. Put up the image of the Navy base in Washington, D.C. here. I don't have the number on it. I believe it is 309. Think about this. Okay, this is Grand Theft Auto. Person's been trained. He's been doing it 16 hours a day, right? Now, reports are, we have all the references for you, that 48 hours, get this, 48 hours, no, you count, 48 hours. After this, this person trained by Grand Theft Auto, which we allow to happen in our country, Grand Theft Auto released their next edition. Within 48 hours, they sold over 800 million new editions of the program. I mean, you think about that. In 48 hours, I mean, you would think, I mean, just business practices is like, okay, now you're the one that caused all these murders to take place at this Navy base, you know, you back off a little bit. Instead, they actually just released it, and $800 million was sold in 48 hours. Guess what? In 3 days, over $1 billion of this was sold. Do you see what's taking place in society today? Over $1 billion was sold in 3 days of what's going on right there. But you know what just happened just a couple days ago in France? Let me show you. This is not a video game. This is a reality, but notice it looks just like what I showed you. Take a look at this. What you're looking at right there, you're looking at a guy walking through the streets in France, just like the game, walking through the streets, beginning to fire people. It looks exactly like Grand Theft Auto. Think about it. Exactly like Grand Theft Auto. We're going to have to start standing up for what's right. And one thing that's right, we've got to quit allowing murder to take place in the hearts. This is why God destroyed the contents of the earth during Noah's day, because evil was on their hearts and mind 24 hours a day. And playing Grand Theft Auto and rehearsing all these things as crime and, you know, sexual abuse against women and all these things that happen in these type of games, then going out and doing it, this is like destroy the type, you know, earth type things, you know, happen. So
if you think about that, I mean, put up these figures again, how many people are playing this game. You know, this is October 2014, which is last year. If you can see this figure, over 300, I believe that's image. There it is. But think about this. I mean, look at that. That's 300, what? That's 33 million, almost 34 million folks are doing this.
Globally.
Globally.
Hours.
Yeah, by the way, remind me to remind you of a meeting that just took place in Russia where the workers of the world got together.
Wow.
Remember that? Workers of the world unite.
Unite.
And got together with Putin. And they're saying the key to solving ISIS's problems is you just need
get them some jobs. Get them some jobs.
And of course, unions go, and then you can get a union wage, and then we can forget about governments. We can be the government. Mm. We don't need government because we can actually use that wages. As a matter of fact, some of the reports are just recently, I believe it was on The Blaze, where the can't think of the guest, and we can find it for you, but they said that the moment what turned this whole nation was Islam moved into the unions in America.
Wow.
And so then you have this, you know, majority. It's America. So the majority, you know, begin to impact everything. But it's like it's infiltrated the whole mindset, and not necessarily, you know, peaceful Muslims, but if the ones who are looking at the Quran doing what it says, the radical.
Well, listen, the senior advisor to the president has quoted saying that she wants to see the Islamic faith. She's Iranian by birth, and she wants to see the Islamic faith spread across the country, and she wants to use the Constitution to do it. That's a paraphrase.
Valerie Jarrett. Who, by the way, you know, says openly, we have this for you on the VFN Torch, that her job is to go around our government.
Yeah.
I was just going around Congress. That's in an interview with CBS. You know, I was just going around Congress. And what somebody says, that what they're really saying is, I was just going around you. And we're going directly to the mayors. And, you know, the embracing of Islam being the answer, it looks like that's the mindset. So you need to be able to, you know, infiltrate, you know, America, its unions, its government, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, with the White House, even not even, it's just like, okay, it's air. It's just air. But you think about it. If we, since we are, were founded on Judeo-Christian values, which is the antithesis of Islam, because the Quran says Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. It denies the Trinity. And he says that Jesus, although they acknowledge him as a prophet, has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. I mean, not only does it, like, you know, think about that, has to repent for, and it's like, that's called the anti-Jesus Christ religion. So we can't embrace up and down at the same time. You can't embrace the North Pole and the South Pole at the same time. And we're at the point of decision in America. I mean, do we want to focus on our, and we need to get back to original intent. We don't need to go backwards. We need to begin to believe that the best days for America is ahead. We just got to decide, do we want a Christian America? Do we want a Judeo-Christian America? And we have to, and think about it, we can learn so much from all the mistakes that have been made, because there's been,
plenty.
You look at, you know, Christian history and things that happened. Well, history done in the name of Christ, I doubt very seriously a murderer is, you know,
right,
part of the church in the context of that. But even so, you know, getting the credit for all these terrible things that have happened in the past, that we can learn. Maybe Christian America has yet to really happen like God wants it to happen. I mean, you just back up, 50 years, you know, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he, at that point, he's saying, we need to live up to the papers. We need to live up to the Constitution. I'm only holding you. That's what he said. We're only holding you what's on the papers.
Only one generation away, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, and he says, you know, this was China. We wouldn't be saying this. If this was some other country, we wouldn't be saying this. But this is America that has a Constitution. So that means it wasn't until 1964, you know, that we began to even live up to that part. Begin the journey of living up to that part, because his life was going to be taken in about five more years after that, in 1968. And I believe, and so, which means just because we've been around for a long time, we have not yet fully moved into what we need to be moved into. If we keep thinking we need to go back, if I'm a person of color, I'm telling you, I don't want to go back. There ain't nothing back that I like, you know, or if I'm a woman, then, you know, she may be saying, I don't want to go that far back, because it wasn't long ago you thought you put me in an insane asylum just because I had a cycle. You know what I'm saying? Right. It wasn't that long ago. But we can learn from all these things. We can go forward, but not forward like people were trying to take us into this whole, you know, anti-Judeo-Christian foundation. But we can move in. We can learn, you know, from the sins of our fathers and from our own sins. You know, unlike John, Yeah, you know, like T.D. Jake said, I've done some things before I got
saved. Oh, yeah.
After I said, after. He said, forget about Satan. If it wasn't, I need God. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not about, you know, obviously we're saved by grace, and it's the message of the cross. And it's a pretty violent what you're seeing today. But if you look at history, it's just ugly. I mean, there's good things, but if your stomach gets queasy after seeing some of the things you saw today or you see on VFN TV program, hey, try history. It's pretty
bad. That's right.
You're like, oh, my God. Oh my goodness. And so, I mean, you just look at, you know, kind of $20 bill, for example, right? As like Andrew Jackson, I guess it's Andrew Jackson.
You got me.
And you think about, that's Jackson. It's like, well, if you're a First Nation person, it's not like, didn't he push us over the Mississippi and take all, you know, allow people to just take our things instead of trying to, you know, be an accountant and try to balance the books of history, because you got to go all the way to the garden to do it, because you have to balance the books between Cain and Abel and then everything since. And then you have to balance the books of everything that happened during Noah's day, that God just like put a forced balance in the check register. He just said, you ever had those times like,
let's just start over.
What does the bank say? Forget about the penny, right? Yeah.
It's okay. It's roll a forced it up, balance. Roll it up.
You know, something Pat told me. Anyway, so you know, everybody's trying to balance the books, but you know, when, it's pretty cool, you think, when you're going to get something on your side of the balance sheet. But the further you go back, you find out you owe as much as that man owes, and you start finding out this is a huge transference of not just wealth, but sin.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's just start over here.
How far do we go? Do we go back and just, you know, what do we need to do here? And the thing is that the books were balanced. The creator of the universe, who created you and everything you see, he did balance those books. He balanced them according to Ephesians chapter 2 at the cross. That's where he balanced them. He really did. I mean, they needed to be balanced, but the transference wasn't of wealth and wasn't of ownership of past sins. It was transference of all sin. He took it on. Mm. So we're able to transfer all of our sin from the debit column. This thing called accounting we used to do. It was an app, but then you had a debit column. And we have all of our sin and no righteousness on the other side. And Jesus' righteousness was all on this other side. And he's thinking, like, I'd like to be right before God because I don't want to go to hell, right? Mm-hmm. So God, the master accountant who created everything, including math. Anyway, so an algebra. He slid that balance sheet over and put it right on top of his son. And on our side of the balance sheet, the transference of our sin went on to Jesus. That's the greatest transference of wealth, of poverty, of neglect, of darkness, of bondage, of evilness. I mean, it just all transferred over on the cross. It just can't be. It's the only way it could have been done. Do you really think God would have given his son if there was some other way to balance the books? You create some government. America's a new idea. And we were fighting, you know, slavery and the Barbary Coast, you know, within an hour of being a nation, and we could not depend on France anymore, so we had to develop our own Navy and Marines. That was our first war, was against the Barbary Islamic pirates coming out of the Barbary states, which is Libya, Egypt, and all those northern continent countries coming out of Morocco and all. And so it's just been around. I mean, think about it. God just created Adam and Eve. You know, they ate themselves out of the garden. Then they had their children, and then their children, outside of Adam and Eve's own behavior, one of them decided to kill the other one because he was jealous. He wasn't jealous and envious of his brother because Eve ate the apple. He had his own original sin inside of him. Think about that. How many people are going like, yeah, Cain would have never killed Adam if it wasn't for Eve eating that apple. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's Eve's fault. I mean, just keep blaming it on somebody else. And it's like, at some point, we got to say, it could be this 340 million folks playing. I don't know if you can see that right now, but 340 million folks.
35 million.
You see that image up? I think I see it there somewhere. I don't know, somewhere up there. I don't know where it is.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, think about 300. How many? 34 million, we'll just round it off, are playing this every day. 342 million rounded off here. And so it's just like, we've got to wake up. This is just going to increase. This is going to increase if we don't say, you know what? We're going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. We're going to deal with it. We're going to have the books balanced at the cross of Christ. Dear Lord, it's our sin, our own sin. And if you don't own it, there ain't nothing you can do with it. As long as you're blaming someone else, but look at my excuse is what that stands for. You cannot repent for what you don't acknowledge. And it's like, even Nehemiah said, my father's sin and my sin. And so, listen, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. We don't need to look at the news like so often's happening. Something like this, and people go, that's just disgusting. Instead of saying, what are we going to do about it? What we're going to do about it is own it. Mm. We're going to own it. And the ones who are doing it, they're going to own it. But then we're going to tell them the remedy is at the cross where God himself balanced the books, the greatest transference of darkness and righteousness this man has ever seen. So we're looking at these things, mm-hmm. and we're going to break it down a little bit. So we have this wildness happening in the world, evil, murder, beheadings. Men are walking up to women and saying, I heard I can take you as my sex slave. Mm. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they're actually, after doing it on Grand Theft Auto, some of the articles on Grand Theft Auto, and I never played it, but the video that you saw is the first time I really ever saw it. And but tons of reports on it, but women are being just beat,
yeah.
raped and
abused
and all this kind of things. And so you're looking at those behaviors manifested over there in ISIS now.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at these behaviors happening when you look at the man that's on trial right now for the Marathon bombings.
Mm.
You know, tell me he didn't play these games. Tell me that they didn't think about the concept of, you know, how to drop a bomb and put it into this and you drive it over here. And then you see what was going on. To me, when I see the game and I see what's happening in what happened in France, when I see the game and I see what's happening in the schools, when I see the game and I see what happened in the Navy base, the United States Navy base in Washington, D.C., and then I see training films by our government walking that scenario out in a Houston building. Remember, you had that on the air. We'll make that related to you. They just kind of prepped people's mind for this reality of fear, what they're actually bringing into the society. And I mean, you think about this, that you can't tell the difference between the game or the reality. And that people are not really realizing that, first of all, that's your child. And if you decide not to take that child's life, they may even provide for you in the future. They may say, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. You know, they may serve the Lord. They may, you know, and we talked about innocent bloodshed. But taking that concept away that this is not life. But I think about Jill
Stanek.
We just had her on, you know, the other day. And they're doing that sit-in in
John Boehner's
office. Because she held a baby in her arms. He was a 28-week baby.
She held him for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
As the baby was actually dying in her arms.
In her arms. That they took from an abortion.
Yeah.
And she realized at that point, and that was Senator Barack Obama back then, she actually went to him.
She was a nurse. So that a person who doesn't, she had firsthand.
In Illinois, And so, to her, it became real when she saw it actually happening. At some point, what we're seeing right now is the reality of what people are playing in the games. We're seeing it happen on our news. We've shown you some videos of burning a pilot alive, crucifying Christians, going around putting marks on their houses saying, you know, these are Nazarenes. And you saw, you know, Miriam, the 18-year-old Miriam, just yesterday, I believe it was, and watching her get pushed out of her home. And she said, I'm just glad that this virtual game player who's actually playing with our lives now didn't kill us.
Mm.
I thank God for that. I mean, she's not saying that, but you think about how did he learn to kill like that? And you think, what is going on? And what I think about, John, I think about Romans. Mm. And we have available for all of our partners, any amount at all, you have access to, we have a lot of stuff for you there, but we have teachings that are there for you. One is a prophetic teaching that the Lord had given me about, you know, is America under judgment, in about three phases of judgment.
Mm.
And Romans chapter 1 talks about that. There's three progressive steps of judgment that happens. And judgments are not about, I'm talking about destruction. I'm talking about the reason why one disciplines is to change behavior. So when you start seeing things like, you know, these type of things going on, you can say, throw your hands up and say, oh, this thing's totally over. Which some people are saying, you know, it's totally over. But it's not, because if it was, God wanted it to be over, it'd be over.
It'd be over,
believe me. It'd be totally over. But what it is it's a father saying to us, he's saying to us, repent, come back to me. And he talks about three stages of judgment in the book of Romans. And this is New Testament.
Which is progressive.
It's progressive. And so you have the first one. He talks about when, you know, Paul's writing under the leadership of the Holy Spirit to the Church of Rome. He's saying, you know, you didn't acknowledge God. They didn't acknowledge God, and they weren't grateful. So not acknowledging God as God and not being grateful is the beginning of these processes. Now, if this process comes to us, this discipline comes to us as a people, and we know, we discern what it is, but we replace that theology. We don't, no, that doesn't happen. It couldn't be. Look at your insurance papers. It says it. If an act of God happens, they're not going to pay you your money. By the way, let me tell you something too, those that love money, that if a war breaks out in America, I bet bottom dollar that it says in your insurance policy, if your house gets blown up, torn down, your car gets smashed, it's not covered
act
under war.
Act of war.
That's an act of war. So they're not worried about a war. They're not. You think they're going to show up with some check? There's nobody in Iraq going, okay, I'll pay you for that house right there, and I'll pay you for
what
that.
Was that a bomb? Was that a bomb that came in? Sure, we cover bombs. It's not a problem.
That was workplace violence.
Yeah,
that was workplace violence. And so that was the first aspect of it. And so these other two phases that happen in this, that it's talking about in Romans chapter 1, is that if we don't start being grateful and think about it, if anybody should be grateful, it should be every American. Hmm. I mean, every one of us.
Reports are that even the poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European. Poorest American.
We're only like 230 years old. I mean, we're not even...
There's a lot to be grateful for.
And our poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the entire world's population. Mm. We even have storage buildings somewhere. Don't we have storage?
Oh, yeah. We have more storage buildings. The number one nation that has storage.
Because we got so much stuff. Like the rich young ruler, right?
Listen, and it's treated better. It's air-conditioned storage. It's air-conditioned storage. Yeah, it's a huge percentage. It's in the billions of dollars. And the number one country that does that is the United States.
Because we got so much stuff. Yeah. Why other nations don't have stuff.
Junk, probably stuff.
And it's like, what is God? And so, and then you know, somebody, we have all this stuff, and then you hear people going like, oh, all I have is the iPhone 74 version. You know, all I have is air conditioned home and food every night on the table. You know, I don't want to be like so and so. And just ungrateful. I'm just talking about the adults here. I'm not talking about the children. And so,
isn't it Nigeria that Nigerians live on $1 a day?
80%, according to, you know, Isaiah Kaderi, that the population in Nigeria, which is, I believe he says, the largest economy in the continent of Africa, lives on less than $1 a day. Hmm. A half of the population, I believe, of the world lives on less than $2.50 a day. I mean, think about it. It's like half a Starbucks. It's not even a whole Starbucks. And so the next phase that he talks about, that he turns over a nation so you can start to kind of gauge where you're at. In other words, the people who weren't grateful created this next environment, which means when this next thing starts happening, if you're going to criticize your own harvest then, because if you weren't grateful and you didn't acknowledge God, then all of a sudden this next phase starts happening. That's actually our harvest. We, you know, if we would have been grateful, if we would acknowledge God, then he wouldn't have turned us over to, what does it say? Sexual immorality to do what, you know, ought not to be done and that type of thing for the degrading of your bodies. And so then you have the 60s, you know, you have the sexual revolution and all these things going on. And you start thinking, wow, you know, what happened with that? And it's like, so we just kind of let that thing run wild, you know, divorce and abortion, 1973, murdering of presidents, of, you know, godly leaders and just, I mean, just, a war we potentially shouldn't have been in, although we thank the soldiers that fought in the war because they did what they were told to do in the context of that. But over there, you know, in Asia. And it's like, okay, so we just kind of let that go. There was a day that people looked at, you know, that first sin of not being grateful, like Miriam was, you're so grateful. But you think, and people would just be upset. Like, don't you understand? We have this land out here in the Midwest, and God's causing our crops to grow, and, you know, our cows are now producing milk, and look at the material we just got from the store, and, you know, they're like...
You're describing someone that's actually walking in humility as opposed to people that are walking in pride. Right. You can't be grateful if you think you're responsible for your own wealth.
Right, right. And so I remember the series, some of you guys may remember this, The Little House on the Prairie, and the first movie was about a Christmas in the Midwest where... I think she got like a penny, an apple, and, you know, just basic gifts. Like, they're just so grateful to have those things. But when we're not grateful, the richest nation, you know, the most blessed nation outside of Israel in the world is in so many different ways. We're not talking about just money wise. Then we were the breadbasket of the world. Think about that. Then he says, I'll turn you over to sexual immorality. And so now you have, and so that became so normal that people, you know, forget about gratitude. We don't even bring God up anymore. And, man, that's not that bad of a sexual sin. And, you know, we all commit adultery and, you know, and we all sin. But the thing about it, we know it's no longer sin to us. It's no longer wrong to us. You know, a nation becomes, this is what Bob Jones says. He says, once you no longer feel that's wrong anymore, when God says it's wrong, God's given you over to it. And so that means, when gratitude's not wrong anymore, it's like you're going to give over to it. Because we always think, you know, as if you're a parent, you know, you start thinking about you know, if I just keep my children out of problems, they won't have any problems.
Right.
Right. And this is not how God doesn't go. You know, if some kid says, you know, to the parent, he says, you know, I want to go smoke marijuana. Well, I guess that's legal. That doesn't matter. That's not, okay. I want to go. Well, that's legal too. You know, I want to imagine if there's something wrong, you know, and the parent tells the kid tells the parent, you know, I'm going to go do this. And they begin to say, no, you can't do that. Oh my goodness. And they begin to lock down on that kid, and it just creates more sin desire inside that kid's heart. And, but this is how God handles it. When somebody comes to God and goes, for example, you know, I'm going to just smoke crack. God goes, I'm going to give it to you because it's coming out your nose.
Mm.
I mean, it's what he said. I mean, he just gives you over to it. I mean, think about when Israel was in the wilderness and they were going like, you know, I wish it was like before I was a Christian. We got to do like earthly, worldly, dark things, mm-hmm. loaves, garlics, and fish. I wish it was like it was right. in Egypt.
You know, I liked bondage. I liked bondage.
It was great. And so God goes, all right, I'm going to give it to you. It's coming out. And so one, he said, and so they were wanting, you know, meat other than the manna. And so he gave them these quail that the birds came down there and they're eating. They eat so much of it that it came out their nose.
Mm.
The best way for someone to change their behavior is to give them over to it.
Mm.
Because God loves us. I mean, look at the prodigal. He says, let them go and let them just taste of their own fruit. Let them eat of their own words. And he gave them so much of what they demanded from him. So many people writing books, John, they're going like, you know, this is how you manipulate God. Yeah. Look at the quail coming out my nose.
Yeah.
But this is what he says. While the meat was in their teeth, God's anger burned against them. And so now think about it. I mean, think about sexual sin. Now, let's say, I don't know, it's like 50, 70% of people who profess to be Christians are struggling now with internet pornography,
oh, yeah.
something those numbers like that. And you're hearing statements like going like, you know, and it's almost impossible. You were driving through New York and the billboards are like, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
But the fact of just when you just say, you know, I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to just get in. I'm just whatever. This is who I am. That's God giving you over to it. You know, that's giving you over to it. You're not fighting it anymore. It's not, you know, you're with that woman now. You're with that man now. Mm-hmm. You're doing these different things.
And it's normal.
And it's normal for you. Guess what the next third phase is? The last phase of God trying to get our attention is he gives us over, a whole nation over, to beginning to have given to same-sex attraction, where all of a sudden now men are with men and women are with women. That's what he says. That's what he says in his word. But you understand that you can't criticize your harvest. If that's our harvest, if we, 97%, John, 97% of regular church attenders in America, according to George Barna, think about this, 97%, they rob from God in his tithes and offerings. He gives us all this money and wealth and things, and we don't even honor him with the first fruits.
Yeah.
What happens? We get turned over to sexual immorality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we don't, that doesn't, the pain of that, because there's a lot of pain in that, right? That doesn't change us. Then all of a sudden he turns us over to the next phase, which means that's our harvest. So we got to go back and first repent for not being grateful.
Wow.
We got to repent for not acknowledging God. I mean, some children said, I don't even know if my parents are Christians. I know they go to church, but they never pray in our home. I mean, I don't see a Bible anywhere. 81% of Christians in America that have Bibles don't even pick them up. They don't even touch them. 81%. And you have people that are marching and coming against taking down the Ten Commandments off courtrooms, and they don't even know what they are. They don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. They don't even pick up their Bible. And you think about this. God gives us over. He's going to give this whole nation over to highest taxation. Why? Because we wouldn't even honor him what he's given us. And so we're down there robbing from God, marching on the streets about high taxes.
Mm.
You're raising our taxes. You can't do this while we're actually robbing from God at the same time. That ain't going to work. You know, they're going to eat your lunch. It's not going to be good because God is the one that's in control. Men are not in control. And so we got to back up a little bit and say, you know what? This thing in ISIS, we're going to read from Romans chapter 1, verse 28 when we get back, because the last final phase, it's almost like we're teetering on that if we don't wake up. And I believe we are, but we first have to know the truth before we can respond. I want to be able to talk to you about, you know, what this third phase right here, and this third phase is amazing because it so fits what's going on, because you think these particular guys have to have a depraved mind. I mean, your mind has to be shut down at some point. And depraved is like, it means, you know, fruitless. There's nothing that can just happen up there. There really is, by the way, if you just, If you go to a college university, a four-year university, and you ask, and it's only because they haven't been taught now. I mean, is the indictment on the student or is the indictment on the teacher? Is the indictment on the parents who paid thousands of dollars for their kid to learn something, and they spent 4 years at that university, and they don't even know anything about our Constitution? I mean, but either way, so you go and you ask, you go, you know, who is, you know, Abraham Lincoln, or who is, you ask about an actor or something in the movies. They're like, oh, you know, that's so and so, and you know, this is
who's the governor in your state,
or they didn't know who their senators were, and those type of things. So, you know, either way, but you start thinking like, oh my goodness, you're going to be the leader tomorrow.
Hmm.
This is, we're going to pass the baton to you. I mean, you're going to be the next leader. And it makes you want to yourself, you got to ask yourself these questions. Do I even know? And what they said for years now, it doesn't matter. You know, you can't contribute anything. So all of a sudden you start believing that. And now they're running everything.
Yeah. Why do I need to learn? Why do I need to
learn? Like 35% of Christians aren't even registered to vote, something like that.
35%. Yeah, it's a high percentage. Yeah.
Think about 35%. That would determine the direction of our nation.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. It's we the people. So God's going to hold us personally accountable for not voting or choosing leadership that's contradictory to what he says we need to have over our life. But whatever we do have, that's what we chose.
That's right.
That's what we chose. And so what is this last phase then? This last phase of being turned over. And remember, God's, it's discipline, so it can get our attention to turn back. And I really believe we are. I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be, you know, willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it versus going through something and saying, I'm struggling whether I'm going to stay with God or not. It's like, what? Your air conditioner broke? Yeah, what's exactly. up with that? I said, Pat, hang in there. No, that's what's up. And so Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says this, and this is the third phase, you know, because the first thing that he turned the nation over to didn't cause them to turn back. The second thing he turned them over didn't cause them to turn back. And this third thing that he's turned them over to cause them to turn back didn't turn them back. And right now we're just kind of embracing everything along the way. You don't have to be grateful to God, and you can run from God, and it doesn't matter. There's no boundaries anymore. And it's a difficult environment. You got to really focus in this environment. You got to really abide and stay close to God, because we're all, you know, have a sin nature, and we all have to say, you know what, God, I need you. And it's that total dependency on God that keeps us, you know, where we're at, because it's an intense and dark environment that's happening. It's getting darker and darker. But this is what he says. So this is the last phase. Okay, you didn't listen. You didn't respond. All this pain happened. So he says, furthermore, then, this is verse 28, Romans chapter 1. Just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Like, you know, I don't need to pick up my Bible, 81% of America. Mm-hmm. And if I do pick it up, out of the 19%, only 3% take it seriously. So that means 97% of the church, according to George Bonta, doesn't take it seriously. So that means 97% doesn't think it's worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. Is not the word G-O-D. It's like, God. God, I'm keeping God on my mind. What are you doing? The word God, God on my mind. That's a small G God, G-O-D.
That's right.
Well, you know, I said a prayer. Jesus. Well, do you know who he is? Do you know what he did? Do you know what he asks? And it's like, you have to know him. And when you confess Jesus, since he is the word and he's the word made flesh, think about it. You're actually knowing the word of God and you're confessing the word. I mean, you cannot avoid the word and think you have a relationship with the word. I mean, think about it. He is the word. The beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So you cannot not have a, you can't have a relationship with God while you openly reject and don't think his word is worthwhile.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
There's a great majority of believers walking that way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so I'm just like getting married and telling your wife, you know, I just want to look at you. I don't want to hear a word you have to say. That relationship's not going to work, by the way. You don't know that. So this is furthermore, he says, just as they did not think it was worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they would do what they ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They are just inventing all kinds of ways to do evil in their mind all the time. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy, although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death. Not only do they continue to do them, but they approve of those who practice them.
Mm.
And it's like, we have to wake up. We have to understand this. I want to pray with you right now. We want to pray. You know, some big things have been released to us today, but if we turn to God, the answer is God, and we repent, God will actually turn these things around. These are things God's turned us over to get our attention. My attention's gotten. How about your attention? Dear God, we just pray right now. We hear what's going on. We see what's going on. We say you are in complete and total control, that you love this man, this woman that's listening right now, that's watching on television. You love them. You have a plan for their life, and these things are to turn us back to you, God. We hear you, Lord, and we just say right now, Lord, that you would forgive. Just ask God to forgive. God, forgive me, Lord, for not being grateful. Forgive me for robbing from you, thinking that you're not worthwhile to retain on my mind, for not even picking up my Bible. God, forgive me for that, Lord. I turn back to you. Here I am. I'm yours. I am all yours, Lord. Dear God, end abortion. Send a revival to America. We ask in Jesus' name. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.